Hello and welcome to Dunktown, the podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata.
And today we have an extra special guest. He's a comedian whose album Airports Animals is out right now. It's Sean Devlin.
Woo! Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. How are you doing on this wonderful Saturday afternoon?
I'm doing very well. I was excited for this, so I watched a bunch of YouTube basketball highlights and news clips and stuff. I don't know if any of it'll come up.
You wanted to be prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to be in the zone.
You don't have to do homework for the show, just for the record.
Yeah.
We bring all the clips, but we appreciate a guest that comes in, you know, ready to go.
Yeah, your mind's on the court. You're like Kawhi. You checked in, right? You're just staring at a basketball.
Yeah. Your YouTube history is just like disrespectful dunks one, disrespectful dunks two.
Yeah. I laid in my bedroom on the floor and closed my eyes and I visualized this whole podcast. Like, I'm going to have a really good performance.
What did you watch? Were you watching recent stuff or like old highlights?
I was watching, a friend of mine was texting me about Kawhi Leonard.
Nice.
And then we ended up talking about Kevin Durant, and she talked about how Kevin Durant is her favorite player to watch because she thinks he's so graceful and beautiful. And then I watched this YouTube video that was sort of the whole history of his career and all the different little moves he learned over time to improve his game. And I just really love him. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I love the Raptors, but I think I love players more. And so I'll follow players, you know, no matter what team they go to. And I love watching them like learn and get better. It's really endearing, I think.
Oh my God. Same.
Yeah.
That's like so fun. I think especially with Durant, cause he is like really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he started out like pretty dang good and then just has gotten better and better. And it is, yeah, that's fun. How did you get into basketball? You?
Why do I got to talk to you?
Oh, that's the first sound effect. What do you say? Yeah. What? Who are you? Why I got? Can you play it
Who
again?
Are you? Why do I got to talk to you?
That's him being mad at a reporter.
Yeah.
I also just, I love his directness that he's kind of grown into over time. I love that he has a burner Twitter account. I actually have a burner NBA Twitter account. I mean, I'm saying that like I play in the NBA. It's I just don't go on Twitter because I find it overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But I have a secret Twitter account that I just use to try and tweet jokes at inside the NBA at Charles Barkley and Shaq. And I'm not going to say the handle. I don't want anyone to follow me.
I only have it
for that purpose.
Oh my God, that's amazing! So have you ever gotten on the screen, like when you know how they put tweets up on the show?
Yeah, I feel I don't think that I have, but I also often end up not watching in like watching it long enough to find out. Mm-hmm. So it's not, I haven't gotten very effective at doing it, but my wife also does it now. She'll like come in and like have a joke. She's like, tweet this at Charles Barkley. And I just like the idea that I'm trying. I like the idea I'm trying. Maybe one day I'll get on there.
I love that. It is fun. I mean, like, those guys make fun of each other so much, and it's like most of the tweets they show are just making fun of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really great.
A real prank vibe on that show.
Really early 2000s.
Or maybe like roasting better.
Yeah. Comedy Central roast vibe.
Yeah. Every episode is a new roast and of the same people.
They actually did a roast at the All-Star game a couple years ago and it was great. Like they did a Comedy Central roast of those guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Very entertaining. Yeah.
I remember that. It was very weird. The email that we received about you described you as a prankster. I got to know more about this. who are you pranking, and what was your favorite prank?
Yeah, good question. I started pranking very young because I was born and raised in Ottawa, Ontario.
Oh, which, nice. I used to live in Ottawa.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was born in Canada, in Alberta, and then my family moved to Ottawa for a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was in Ottawa for like the first 10 years of my life.
Nice.
And as you might know, as a former, I don't even know what a person from Ottawa was called. Ottawadan?
Yes, that's usually what we... I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
As a you might know this as someone who lived in Ottawa, but Tom Green is from Ottawa.
Right. That's true.
And so when I was sort of the perfect age to be enamored with Tom Green's antics, he was actually on like local public access television in Ottawa. And I really think I got into comedy in part because of him, because he was on TV and he was just kind of annoying and, but like really funny and obnoxious. And it just made me realize that you could be from Ottawa and get on TV and like be a comedian. So he was sort of my first comedy role model.
Nice.
And I think my first prank was directly copied from his show. I had a report to do for a biology class, and I had to do a report about rabies. And instead of like researching the disease rabies, I went to the local shopping mall and put Alka-Seltzer tablets in my mouth and drank water and like foamed at the mouth at old people.
Oh my
and
God.
Had my friend film it. And then I showed it in our class as my like report on rabies. And after I did that, the teacher politely asked me to drop out of his class. But he also said that he thought it was funny and that I reminded him of himself at a younger age.
Weird thing to say.
And interestingly, he was actually, weird connection, he was the junior high school basketball coach.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say he was Tom Green.
And he was Tom Green. And his name was Mr. Staines, which the students had a field day with.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. And I mean, because he was always like coaching the basketball team and then coming to class sweaty. So like... He had pit stains. Like it wasn't something that we had to like make up. So he had the name going. He had actual stains for the metaphor. Like it was kind of perfect. He was a perfect teacher.
I mean, I guess he did encourage you in a sense, maybe not in the sense that public school wants him to, but you did end up becoming a comedian.
Yeah.
And he did say it was funny and encouraged you in that sense. So.
Yeah, he was like, this is good, just don't do it here. Like, go somewhere else and do this. So that was helpful. And then over the years, I've done a lot of political pranks. I on two occasions, I snuck up on the Canadian Prime Minister at an event and sort of tried to shame him and embarrass him. And then most recently, I worked as a consulting producer on the last Borat movie, which was kind of like my favorite thing I've done prank-wise, which was more just like watching this incredible team of people do insane pranks.
Kind of the ultimate prank.
Yeah.
Is yes, Borat. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Classic. I mean, yeah, I love Borat.
Pranking an entire nation.
I liked that movie a lot. It was very fun.
Yeah,
I love a good prank. Rudy Giuliani got pranked hard.
Even though you have said,
don't prank me.
If I ever prank a god, a friendship over.
Oh yeah, I have a very strict like do not prank me rule with my friends, and that goes to you too. To you too, Sean. Like, please do not ever try to prank me.
Yeah. You've got anything planned for later in this recording?
Yeah. You better cancel those plans.
Okay.
If you need to make a phone call and cancel something. We can pause for a minute.
Yeah. If your doorbell rings, don't answer the door.
Okay.
I mean, we did just watch Jackass and Jackass too.
It was it was recently Agata's birthday, and the entire weekend Gabe was there as well.
Right.
We spent watching Jackass.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, my wife and I recently watched not bad, bad, is it Dirty Grandpa or Bad Grandpa, where it's Johnny Knoxville in
That's
the grandpa.
Bad Grandpa.
Bad Grandpa. We watched not Bad Grandpa, but
Dirty Grandpa?
No, it's called Bad Grandpa, like 1.5 or something, where it's like the movie, but then there's also all these extra scenes, and then there's all these interviews where they're talking about it.
Oh, interesting.
And that was very, very enjoyable. Yeah, I enjoy those guys. I do have some friends who prank each other, and my wife actually grew up in a prank sort of family.
Oh no, that's my worst nightmare.
Yeah, some of it sounded really like, I don't even know if this is a prank. Like, so for instance, when she was a child, she said at one point, her and her two sisters, they were all like under the age of 10, and their stepdad let them watch a horror movie, like one of those ones with the guy with the knife. What's that one with the guy with the knife?
Halloween,
Freddy.
Yeah. I'm so happy that you were able to guess that.
The guy with the knife is such a funny.
That's another context for to get it.
It's a simplification, but it worked.
Yes. So they were allowed to watch that film as like young girls, and they were so scared. And then they said their stepdad was like, oh, I'm tired, I'm going to go to bed early. And he left just before the movie ended. And then they were so scared that they all insisted on all sleeping in one bed in their bedroom, like sharing the bed because they were so scared. And then they said they went to bed and 15, 20 minutes after they had settled in and finally gotten to sleep, he jumped out of their closet wearing a hockey mask with a knife.
Oh my god, that's horrifying.
And they peed. They peed in their bed out of fear. She tells it now laughing, but that's like very intense.
Jesus.
Wow.
I would pee too.
I just had a therapy breakthrough because when you said your wife grew up in a pranking household, I just realized I did too.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
And I never thought of that. But something similar happened to me where we watched Gremlins and I was 4, I think. I was really, really young. And we went to a department store called Zares. I was just perusing the toy aisle as a young child does by themselves. I thought my dad was with me, but he wasn't. And I'm just walking down the aisle, and then I get to the end of the aisle, and my dad is there with the doll for Stripe. Is that the evil gremlin's name?
Whoa, yeah.
And he does an evil laugh with the little gremlin doll right in my face. And I just scream, and my dad took off running. And I'm crying. My mom comes running from somewhere. She hears me crying. She's like, "Where's your dad?" And there's a group of people forming around us. So my mom just drops all of our shopping, and we leave the store. And my dad is waiting by the car.
Oh my god.
He just peaced out.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. I guess I grew up in a pranking household too. And that was one of many similar. My dad loved jump scares. Is that what your wife's dad did?
You said that it's probably linked to your anxiety today. It's you're growing up where you're my dad's going to jump out behind any corner and terrify me as a young child.
I had this vision as an adult where if I looked out a dark window, a window you can't see out of at night and it's dark outside, if I looked
out...
I'm
already
out, scared. I'm scared.
I always assumed a evil clown was gonna be there if I looked out.
Man.
And then my sister reminded me that one time we were looking out our, me and my sister shared a bedroom. We were looking out our bedroom window and my dad jumped up with a scary clown mask.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Whoa.
And I had forgotten, I'd repressed that memory.
Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine had a similar breakthrough in therapy recently where they were like, oh, I remember this thing where my sister used to hide under the bed because blah, blah, blah. And then her sister told her just recently, she's in her 30s, like, no, that was you. Like, that happened. You used to hide under the bed. But yeah, clearly that clown thing got to you in some on some level.
And yeah, it is funny.
And that's why you only date clowns now.
Yeah, that's true. I have a real daddy issue sort of thing.
Clown issues.
It's with like very evil looking clowns. I'm dating the guy who played Pennywise.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That guy's very handsome, actually. I would be.
Oh, he's one of the Skarsgård.
Yeah, he's a Skarsgård.
They are very beautiful.
You mean like like present day Pennywise, not classic. I think that was Tim Curry, the actor Tim Curry played the original.
What if I was dating Tim Curry?
I actually would be less surprised if you were dating Tim Curry than if you were dating Skarsgård guy.
Me too, actually.
That seems like more your type.
So now that you know how pranks can harm people, do you feel like you might change your ways?
Yeah. No, I'm going to. I'm going to stop.
Oh, no. It's all part of the next one. Always something brewing.
It is funny, though, because I do love like Jackass and Borat or like Ollie G. Like, I love prank stuff. Or Nathan for You.
Yeah.
Which isn't exactly a prank, but
it is. I think that counts.
It's like just so high concept, like art, almost art pranking or something. It's so complex and involved. Yeah. It's really beautiful.
Watching the first Jackass, I was like, I see like very clearly how Nathan Fielder was like influenced by this generation of pranksters.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, especially with like the weird shit that they put in between the like gross sketches or.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just like, that's like what. Yeah. That's what like I Think You Should Leave and like Nathan for You and all that stuff. You see the influence.
Yeah, for sure. They influenced a generation.
Yeah. They should be thanking those guys.
Nathan's also Canadian.
Yeah.
Also Canadian. Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have Just for Laughs gags? Like, are you familiar with that brand of sort of French prank?
No. Mm-mm. Is this related to the Just for Laughs festival?
Yeah, it's this TV series they've done for, I think, decades, where it's just these like silent pranks that they do. But you'll often see them like playing on the TV on airplanes and stuff, because no matter what language you speak, you can understand these pranks.
Like Mr. Like, Bean.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Perfect. It's like the Mr. Bean of pranking.
And universally funny.
And my wife is from Montreal, and she said it's so strange there because in the summer, they'll always go to this one park where tourists go, the Just for Laughs people, and they'll just do the pranks there. But if you live there, she says everyone knows. So it's like whenever something weird happens, like an old man comes up and he's like dressed like a guy who runs a circus. And he's like, I've lost my lion. Have you seen a lion? People will be like, what? This is clearly a Just for Laughs gang.
Everyone's like, yeah. You're the third lion searcher I've run into. Yeah.
But then some tourist is like, oh no, yeah, let me help you. And then there'll be like a fake lion head in the bush that kind of comes out and scares them or something.
Oh my God. Amazing. Speaking of Canadian pranksters, now the Rolodex in my brain is going. There was a show that I saw, like, we don't get here, but I saw some like bootleg copy of it called Nirvana, the Band, the Show.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also Canadian, I believe. And they also do a sort of like Nathan for You style thing where it's like in public and not everyone is in on it.
Mm.
Like they set a building on fire. Have you seen this?
I haven't seen the show, but I've seen a movie that the same guys made where they made like a movie about NASA, and they filmed a bunch of it at the actual NASA, like without permission,
oh
where
my
they
God.
Were just like kind of dressed like these characters and going around like they worked at NASA. but I haven't seen the show, but yeah, they're great too. I feel, yeah, there's like a long history of Canadian pranks, I guess.
Yeah. I'm just going to say it. I think it's in Canadian culture.
I agree. It's in my blood to love pranks. Yeah. But don't you dare do one to me.
I know the consequences.
I'm going to go home and there's going to be like Saran wrap on my toilet.
Oh, I've heard of that one. That one sounds so mean. Yeah,
it
yeah.
sounds gross. So mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think along with all comedy, if you're pranking up rather than pranking down.
Yeah. Right.
I'm all for it.
Right. And if pranking down is like literally pranking your own children.
Yeah. Like yeah. If you're pranking a corporation, like, great.
Yeah,
love that.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
If you're pranking like the cashier at Target, like, don't do that.
Yeah.
They're just doing their job.
They're just working.
Yeah.
Good point.
Let's get a little into your basketball background. How did you get into basketball?
Well, that's the prank. I don't even know what basketball is. No.
Oh, no. Oh, you got us.
big orange ball.
Big orange ball. Big. The big orange ball game. So I'm definitely more of a basketball fan than any sort of serious basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
My basketball journey for me started basically with Michael Jordan, probably like a lot of people of my generation. Because when he started winning those first three championships, I was like 8, 9, 10 years old. And so he was like, you know, the biggest thing in the world in a way. and I was at that very impressionable age. And then it was basically this 4 or 5 year period where that happened. And I was grew up in Ontario, obviously. And so, then the Toronto Blue Jays, which is baseball, small white ball.
heard of it.
They won the World Series in 1993, 94. So then I was, you know, really fanatic about, baseball. And then in 1995, the Toronto Raptors were created. So, I kind of had like Michael Jordan get me excited about basketball and then the Toronto Blue Jays get me excited about the idea that Toronto could be world champions. And then the Toronto basketball team was created, which I think a lot of people don't realize that name was definitely chosen because of the film Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Like
that movie.
We talked about that before.
Yeah. Came out in 93. Yeah. Very clever branding.
Honestly, it's one of my favorite team names for sure.
Same.
It's great because it totally makes sense even with the team now, like where they all kind of, they play as a pack and they're like, you know, they get their hands and, you know, steal the ball from you like a raptor. but
they're
for
always
12-year-old
slashing
me,
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Learning to use doors.
ripping the tops off of cars.
Yeah. And, but it was just the perfect, you know, brand for me at that impressionable age, like as a 12-year-old boy, to be like, oh, there's this basketball team now that's in my province and they're named after the dinosaur in that movie that killed everybody. Like, it was pretty genius branding. And so I was just sort of hooked from there.
I remember when I was a kid and I, like, one of my classmates was like, the Toronto Raptors was named that because they found like some really important raptor skeletons in Toronto. And I believed that for so long, but this kid just made that up.
Yeah. We all know they're not real.
Yeah.
It was a movie.
There's definitely been dinosaurs found in Alberta. I've never heard of dinosaurs being found in Toronto.
It's definitely not true. It was definitely because of the Jurassic, the like, you know, popularity of Jurassic Park. But for so long, I was like, yeah, apparently it's like the site of like the biggest raptor ever found. And right, it's like some kid in my like, you know, fifth grade class told me that one time.
We've had some people on the show who said that they were part of the like voting for deciding what it was going to be, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, but, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. Okay. And it makes sense that like, you know, it was Jurassic Park fever.
Yeah.
People were going crazy.
Right.
For it. And I like, yeah, it's obviously way better than any alternative. And then those jerseys, like the ones with the like
cartoony
cartoon raptor, like they're great. I love it. I have one.
Yeah. Kids probably were like, hell yeah, this is for me.
Purple. There's a lot of purple early on. They've sort of moved away from the purple over the years, but that I really made them stand out for a while.
Yeah. Love it.
And so, yeah, I didn't play much, but I didn't play like on any school teams, but I did once go to a basketball camp. We played basketball all day. And at the end of the camp, they gave out these ribbons for the best players. And I didn't get one, but I did get a ribbon for most dedicated, which I think was just
participation
like a way of them,
ribbon.
Yeah, it was like a glorified participation ribbon. It was like, he was always here and listening attentively.
That's great.
He was around a lot.
Yeah. Didn't touch the ball much, but he listened so well.
Yeah.
That's really the problem with millennials, you know? We all got too many participation trophies.
But we're all dedicated now, so that's great.
I'm all fucked up. I don't know about you. Directly as a result, I'm assuming.
Yeah. From my trophy case. I look at it.
I still have a whole wall of trophies.
It's a case of lies. So when they won the championship, where were you? What were you doing? Were you freaking out?
I was freaking out. I was at home. You know, this is, I'll get real for a second. The year that they got Kawhi was the year that my mother passed away.
Oh, no.
And so
I was
really grieving, but that was like maybe like the best part of that year. Was just like getting lost in the team that year, because as soon as they got him, like if you were a fan of the Raptors and knew how they had kind of been on the brink of getting that far, it really felt like as soon as they got him, like, oh, we could win it all. And then you just got to watch it happen.
Yeah.
And so it was like, yeah, it was really, and I think I also found it sort of emotional because, I don't know if you're familiar, but part of Kawhi Leonard's like journey is about the death of his father. And I was probably just projecting, but I feel like I saw a lot in him and the way he conducted himself and this almost kind of spiritual kind of groundedness to his presence that seemed sort of shaped by grief. And so I was obviously just in grief at the time when that season was happening. But yeah, that was an incredible experience. And then he left.
Oh no.
Well, I feel like I was happy for him because I knew he was going home and that he wanted to like be there. So that seemed really cool. And there's this great, comedian from Toronto named Chris Locke, who he summed it up the best to me. He posted something online right after it happened. And he just said, Kawhi Leonard was a mysterious man who came to our village, helped us, and then disappeared. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah, that sums it up pretty well.
And like, you wish that that guy would stay, but you know that he can't. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like like an old, you know, Leone Western or something. A tumbleweed follows him out of town.
It was just, it was part of his journey.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But I mean, we're taking good care of him, I promise. He's doing just fine.
He's having fun in LA, I think.
He's out at the beach. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, we have
no
idea
anywhere. He's probably just at home, like like I am all the time.
I actually went, when I was working on Borat, I went to a Clippers game when the Raptors came to town. So I got to see the first game where they played Kawhi at the Staples Center. And that was nice. I mean, he beat the Raptors, so that part sucked. But
I'm trying to think if I wonder if I was at that game. I can't remember. They all kind of blend together.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I was, but I do remember when that happened.
Yeah.
Because they also, you know, like everyone was like hyping it up as this like big dramatic thing, but it's Kawhi. It's not, there's no drama.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won't acknowledge it. Yeah.
It's always like, yeah, it's always weird when they're like, blah, 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 returns back to where they used to play. Will there be drama? And it's like, well, not in this situation, because obviously he wanted to leave. But like whenever it's somebody getting traded away and then they're like, will there be drama? It's like, it wasn't their choice to leave.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have any feelings, you know.
Like, I was thinking Blake Griffin. Like,
yeah.
They like really played it up like, he's playing the Clippers.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucked up. It's like,
yeah, right.
He didn't want to leave. Like, poor guy.
I know.
He's probably just sad.
It was sad, I think, for him. He looked sad.
Yeah.
That was a special time seeing that. Oh, and then actually, I just realized that same, like a month later, I was at a casino in Las Vegas. This is a weird story. I was at a casino in Las Vegas, and Lou Williams, who at that time also played for the Clippers, used to play for the Raptors. I saw him at a table at this casino, and he was like with a bunch of people, and he was just hanging out. And this was before the whole thing of in the bubble that he like snuck away to go to that strip club and have the chicken wings.
Yeah.
And so I saw him at this casino, and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna go talk to him because he seems really approachable. And so I just went up and I was like, hey, I'm a big Raptors fan and I really loved you when you played for the Raptors. And I know you play for the Clippers now, but I hope that we can play you in the finals because that would be really cool. And then he just said, yeah, I want that. And that was it. I felt like I didn't annoy him. He like acknowledged me and then I left.
That feels so perfect.
Yeah. Was he at the blackjack table or just like drinking?
I can't remember what it was. I was just drinking, so I don't really gamble, so I don't know what game he was playing, but he was hanging out with people and it just seemed, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, oh, I don't want to like ruin his privacy or his vibe. And so I was just like, I'm going to say this thing really quick, and it seemed like he appreciated it and wasn't annoyed by it. He seems like a really nice, chill guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love him so much.
Yeah. Where is he even now? Actually,
he plays for Atlanta now. So he went, which is where he's from.
And that's what he wants. That's where he's close to the Wings. He can eat there daily.
Right. Right.
Yeah. He's close to the Wings.
Yeah.
I like that his Wikipedia says also known as Lemon Pepper Lou. Yeah. I don't know if he wants that.
I mean, it really stuck. That is such a good nickname.
It's a really good nickname.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's like,
can you guys call me Lemon Pepper Agata?
It doesn't work, Agata. You do like wings.
I do love wings. That's true.
But it doesn't have the alliteration.
Okay, I need you guys to like brainstorm and come up with something really good for me.
What's your flavor of wings?
I mean, I just like hot wings. I
hot wings.
Like buffalo wings.
Hot Agata.
Hot gotta.
Hot gotta.
It works on multiple levels.
I think we can maybe come up with something better. You guys can send me some pictures later.
We'll submit a list for you to approve.
Maybe we'll do like a big poll. Listeners can vote.
Yeah, listeners, if you have any, because actually I've said this before. You can't really make your own nickname.
Yeah.
Because
it's weird.
When you try, people immediately refuse it.
Yeah.
And it just has to happen kind of magically.
Yeah.
So
just like you asked to be called lemon pepper gotta, and we immediately rejected it. Yeah.
I mean, I also could tell that it was wrong coming out of my mouth. It doesn't sound cool.
Yeah, put it to the listeners, just like how the Raptors chose their name. Make it democratic.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys, you know, if you have a good idea, you can email us at hiadunk.town or, you know, DM us Twitter or Instagram.
Yeah.
I'll be collecting them. Maybe
by mail.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Mail. Send it to our mailbox. Maybe we'll, if we get enough suggestions, maybe we'll do a little poll and everyone can vote.
That sounds great.
Can I suggest mango habanero agata?
Whoa.
That is I a like mouthful. That.
I don't like that flavor.
All right. So much happens in a week. We can't possibly cover it all. So we wrap it up in a little segment called Previously on Basketball.
Last time on MasterChef Canada.
Nice, a little Master Chef in there. Coach Mike Budenholzer signs 3-year extension with the 2021 champion Milwaukee Bucks. The NBA will require all personnel to be fully vaccinated for the upcoming season. 2020 champions, the Seattle Storm, take time out of their busy basketball season to visit the White House. Lauri Markkanen is going to Cleveland, thus achieving every young Finnish boy's dream. ESPN cancels The Jump and removes Rachel Nichols from its basketball coverage. The Knicks' Nerlens Noel files lawsuit against power agent Rich Paul, alleging almost $60 million in lost wages. Dell and Sonia Curry file for divorce. Steph and Seth high five and say double Christmases. The WNBA is an NFT now.
What?
They have decided. Do we have a video of this actually?
In basketball, there are moments of greatness. You can collect it like you can today. Moments like these, they take the game to a new level. They show us how to be better and help us see that no dream is too big.
They now have WNBA NFTs in the NBA Top Shot. And I'm just going to say straight up, NFTs are trash. Stop wasting your money. What are people doing?
I don't understand it. Like, why? Why would you buy that?
It said on the little commercial, own greatness. You don't own shit.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Sean, do you have any thoughts on NFTs?
It's confusing because it's like it's a digital video, right? It's a digital video mm-hmm. yeah. clip, and then you buy it and you sell it, and some of them sold for so much money. I mean, I would like that part
if you were the seller.
Yes, yeah. And then I think now some players are just doing their own version, like Kyle Lowry did, like just his own. But yeah, it seems it's, I don't know what you do with it. I guess it lives on your computer.
Yeah. I think this is, you know, there's a lot of artists and celebrities and other people who are taking advantage of this, which I understand. It's like a very easy form of passive income, but it's ridiculous because that NFT, from what I've read, each NFT takes so much energy to maintain and to like continue constantly verify. It's not great for the environment. And then on top of it, what are you actually getting? Like, you're spending money on a collectible thing that is born digital, lives digital, and we know you know, that buying digital stuff doesn't typically work out that well.
Yeah, I like the idea of players doing it themselves, because I like the idea of if they like digitized more personal parts of their life, that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Kyle Lowry's NFTs were. I think they were just like pictures of him or something. But yeah, I don't fully understand it.
I mean, if they were pictures of his butt, I would buy one.
Oh my gosh. So I've seen his butt. Ooh. Like from three rows back, and I can see Gabe now with his Nuggets hat. So March 2nd, 2020, basically like a few days before the NBA was shut down due to COVID, my wife and I were at a Raptors game in Denver, and I got to see Kyle Lowry from like three rows away.
Oh my God.
And his butt was incredible. Like my wife and I were talking about it for 2 years. Like how
I'm jealous.
Incredible and strong his butt is.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's obsessed with it.
Yeah. I hope to someday be that close to it.
Yeah.
I had never really noticed it on TV. Like I know that he has like a strong, like he can kind of post up and he's strong.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I saw it in person that I realized how strong it is. It's like really impressive.
He has an impressive butt.
All right, let's look at this video of the storm at the White House. Okay, Biden's kneeling down.
He has a Biden jersey that says his...
Why is he kneeling down?
I don't know. It's weird.
He's an old man. He shouldn't be kneeling.
Yeah, why is he kneeling? Is he like referring to the kneeling thing during the national anthem?
Oh no!
No, is he? Or no?
Maybe, I don't know.
No,
I think I think he's just getting low.
I think he's just trying to get trying not to block people.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It seems like a weird choice.
He did give a little speech where he thanked them for their service off the court as well, and talked a little bit about like their political activism that they did, especially during the bubble season that they won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe, but I think he's just trying to get out of the way. But you're too old, dude.
Yeah, he's not making any kind of NFL kneeling statement. No way.
Okay, I was confused.
No way. That guy, nah. He doesn't give a shit. All right, let's see Coach Bud signing his contract extension.
Gabe!
We're gonna have to post this on Twitter. Everyone's gonna be mad again. Last time we posted it, people got mad.
It's just Bud's weird tongue thing that he did.
Gabe pulled this gif of Coach Bud flicking his tongue out like an anaconda
and a pen dabbing on it. Oh, I hate it. Gross. Make it stop, Gabe.
Coach Bud, he always looks to me like a character in a Christmas movie who's a dad that got fired before Christmas but hasn't told his family. Yeah. And he's just like trying to keep it together. He always has that level of stress and like fake joy or something in his face.
That is the perfect way to describe his face, because he does look stressed out like all the time.
I do want to say about Del Curry and Sonia Curry splitting up. There was a very, very good Twitter thread that went viral after this of Solomon Missouri is his name. And he was like explaining why you just don't want to be single out here.
You don't want to be in the streets.
Yeah. You don't want to be out here. You know, maybe it looks good when you're in like a long-term marriage and you're like, maybe I'll just jump out there again. But yeah. I don't even think I could do it justice. It's very funny.
You have to we'll link to it, and you have to read all of it, because towards the end, it just gets better and better and better. And it's all true. It's all true.
Yeah. Too. You know, dating in this day and age, you don't want it. If you're in a happy marriage or even a mediocre marriage.
Work on it.
Just stick it out.
Marriages are work. As someone who's divorced. Look, I got out, but...
Not every marriage has to go on forever, but...
If you can make it work, give it the old college try.
Yeah.
I like the part where he was like, do you like turmeric? Do you like charcoal ice cream? You better.
That was so funny.
I mean, but, charcoal Dunkery ice cream. Don't eat charcoal, you guys, because if you are taking medications, that charcoal stops them from working.
Is that true?
Yes,
I didn't know that.
It is. So it's dangerous.
People that do charcoal toothpaste, too.
Yeah. Well, that's not as bad because you're not really ingesting it. Mm. But like if you're
the way that I brush my teeth, I am.
OK. Well, I forgot you. I forgot you do one big swallow at the end. But yeah, like anything that's dyed black with charcoal, like ice cream or cupcakes or whatever, like that shit, be careful, because if you're on like any kind of medication, it can block you.
Wow. PSA, you heard it here first.
I hope
folks.
I saved a life with
you
that.
Did
But Del Curry was a raptor I was in high school, and Steph Curry was you know, just a little boy in Toronto. But he had such a great shot, but it sounds like, was he cheating? Is that what they said?
I don't know. Actually.
I don't know. Oh. I didn't hear anything about that, but I didn't
I
look into it.
I saw an article that said that they both claim that the other was cheating.
Okay.
Sounds like an open marriage that went wrong.
Okay. Right.
But it's weird too, because it's like you were cheating during a pandemic.
Yeah.
Right.
Ugh.
God. Save some for the rest of us.
Messy. Yeah. All right. Let's look at this video of PJ Tucker talking about Giannis's new Nike line.
This was maybe my favorite thing this week.
Hold on, man. It's not his swag. He not even go like that. He wear this.
He's showing like a plain gray hoodie.
He don't wear this. That ain't his swag.
It's like neon.
It's not
and
swag, guys. These colors, they ain't his swag. It's
not. Those pants are ridiculous. Aww. They're like
I love
teal.
How much PJ Tucker loves fashion.
Yeah. Totally.
He's like pulling out a pair of like teal and red pants. Like, no, Giannis would never wear this shit.
Yeah. And then like maybe two, you know, Instagram stories later, he said, stop being mad at me. I like it. It looks cool. I bought all of it. But I'm just saying it's not Giannis.
Yeah.
A bunch of people were like, stop, like, you know, dragging his new line or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it does kind of seem like something PJ would wear. So, yeah. Like, yeah, I get that. But yeah, Giannis isn't out here like, you know, he's not in that tunnel, like getting, you know, wearing his suits and his runway looks.
No.
I wish.
Very modest.
He would look great.
Yeah.
I love that part in the playoffs when PJ Tucker was covering Kevin Durant during that series and Brooklyn played Milwaukee. And I don't know if you saw the one game where he like was being really hard on Kevin Durant and then fouled him at one point. And Kevin Durant's mom was like on the floor seats and started screaming at him. And then he just like looked back at her and said, I love you. And then she said, and then she smiled and she was like, I love you too. And I was like, what just happened? And then I didn't know this. I like had to look it up because I was like, what was that interaction? That was so cool. And then when I looked it up, it turned out that maybe you already know this, but that when Kevin Durant like took his first trip, like to go to college, like as a test or whatever, he stayed in PJ Tucker's like dorm room. Mm-hmm. And so Kevin Durant's mom was like, PJ Tucker was the first person that she let Kevin Durant go away and be with, like on his own or whatever. Cute. So they kind of have this like, you know, parenting vibe between each other. So I thought it was so funny that she was just like cussing him out. And then he was like, I love you. And she's like, oh, I love you too.
I love PJ's attitude. He's Same. Such a yeah. like chill, good. I mean, he's, you know, not chill on the court, but he knows what's actually important, mm-hmm. you know, when yeah. you boil it down.
All right, let's move on to our next segment, our cutie comment of the week. So each week we highlight the best, funniest, cutest comments made by the members of our Cutie Nation Discord. It's our cutie comment of the week. I like that one.
That's the new sting.
All right, let's see. This week's comment is from Choni Mitchell.
So there's a real trend right now in the Discord of people doing spoonerisms for NBA players and stuff. And then it evolved into turning NBA player names into spooky names. Really getting excited for Halloween far in advance. And so this says, here's my between meetings doodle of Frankenstein Kaminsky. And it's really a great drawing.
It looks great. It looks like him. He's got the Frankenstein stitches.
She captured his like weird smile so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that. I feel like this is the first time we're seeing a version of Frankenstein who's happy. Frankenstein is traditionally like
such a very, grump, such a
yeah,
grump,
or just very straight faced. I guess because he's like made up of several pieces of different dead bodies.
But, maybe it hurts. Maybe it hurts to be a guy that's just made yeah. up of a bunch of people sewed together.
I assume it does. I'm gonna yeah. assume.
It but can't I feel like great. Happy Frankenstein.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to be eligible for our next cutie comment of the week, you can join our Cutie Nation Discord. Sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/dunktown. We have a lot of fun in there. It's a lot of sweet, funny cuties.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. Everyone should join if you're nice and want to have fun.
And if you're a jerk, stay away.
Yeah. Don't, don't, taint our beautiful yeah. utopia.
Don't poison our well. Because yeah. I won't be
happy
scared.
Happy Frankensteins only.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to go in there, grab you by the ear, and pull you out. All right. We don't have anything for Mailbasket today, but we want some new stuff. We took a little break for a while. This is our first episode that yeah. we are recording back after returning.
You need an off season.
Yeah. we took some time off. We were still releasing episodes, but yeah, so we want to hear from you. What are you excited about? How are you feeling? What has your team been up to?
Tell us about pranks that you've experienced.
Yeah. Tell us about pranks. We want to hear about, summer vacations, both you and our players.
Yes.
If you want to send us something, you can email us at hi@dunk.town or leave a message on our cutie hotline, 903-420-DUNK. And I believe we're now at the end of the episode. Sean, yeah. thank you so much for being here. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
My album, I guess. Go to seandevlin.website and you can stream it or download it anywhere you listen to music. And go Raptors.
Nice.
We heard your album. It's very funny. And everyone should go check it out.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you again. And thank you to all of the cutie listeners for coming on this journey with us. As always, we love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye. For more Dunktown content, check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com/dunktown. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @DunktownPodcast. I am on Twitter @Echo_Mint and on Instagram @AgataMonica. Anastasia is on both @AnastasiaVigo. Check out our website, dunk.town. If you like the show, please write us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you listen. We always really appreciate those. We have t-shirts, stickers, hoodies, and more available for sale at dunk.town/store. Thank you to Andrea Dominguez for the Dunktown design, and thank you to Andrew Bear for our original music for the show. Sources and references from this episode can be found in the episode description.